Well, friends, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We're going to read a little bit more than what is in the bulletin listed, but John chapter 11, we'll begin reading at verse 1, and that is found on page 1529 in the Bibles provided for you, 1529. John chapter 11, we'll read probably the first 45 verses there. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And when he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews were tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into this world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. And then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Don't you just want to applaud after that story? Wow. What an introduction to Jesus' own resurrection. Beloved in Christ, this Lenten series, we're thinking about thorns that we endure in our lives that Christ also endured before us. And in today's message, we look at what we might consider the deepest thorn of all humanity's flesh, the thorn of finality, the thorn of, well, let's not disguise it, the thorn of death, and the thorn of loss associated with death, the thorn of having to experience the loss of a loved one. It's not an easy thorn to bear, is it? In John 11, we see that even Jesus endured that finality thorn of loss and grief when his friend Lazarus died. The loss and grief thorn, the thorn of finality, the thorn of death is introduced to us, many of us, at a young age. A pet, a cherished dog, cat, goldfish that a child has loved since she was barely a toddler. Now she's 8 and her beloved puppy turned large golden retriever, her constant companion, dies. Or the cat that has purred and furred its way into her heart for years now needs to be put to sleep. Or even the pet fish in the fish tank, so well taken care of and watched so intently for years by her, but one morning the fish is floating all wrong, and the little child is devastated over this form of finality, this thorn of loss, of death. Add a few years, and a grandparent dies, and she'll stand holding grandma's cold hand and touching her cheek in the casket, and she'll wonder why her oma won't open her eyes and why she can't wrap her arms around her anymore, and she has all kinds of questions about where Nana is now. In high school, she may lose a close friend, perhaps in a car accident or even by a suicide no one saw coming. Older still, she might have to go through this thorn of finality through a miscarriage or through the delivery of a stillborn child or a child who lives only a month, or one whose death is sudden because of a syndrome that can't be explained, let alone planned for. Through her life, a dear friend or two will succumb to cancer. She may lose her father to a heart attack, her mother to dementia, and husband to a stroke. And if any of these is not in the normal order of oldest dying first on down, the loss will be even more profound. Faith Community Church has been scarred with losses like that. Families in our church have suffered thorns of finality, thorns of death, thorns that fill their hearts with so much grief and loss, so deep it is as if their souls, their very souls, are punctured by that thorn and the agony it brings. In the story today, we see Jesus in one of those loss situations. For him, it is a dear friend, Lazarus, who has died. Jesus has gotten to know Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. They lived in Bethany, a village near Jerusalem. And Luke chapter 10, the verse before, chapter before, tells us that they had welcomed Jesus into their home. We also know that Jesus had grown to love these three particularly. We read in John 11, verse 3, that the sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to Jesus saying, Lord, the one you love is sick. And three verses later, John writes, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when Jesus is grieving for Lazarus, the Jews who are watching the interaction, they say, see how he loved him. Jesus loved Lazarus, a dear friend, and he had died. Jesus, too, has entered into that profound emotion of sadness that comes about when there is loss. In other words, Jesus understands, doesn't he? As we said last week, too, there is nothing that we have to endure, no thorn that we have pressed into us that Jesus also has not had to suffer. Jesus endured every thorn for us. Jesus relates to every thorn that tears us open. It tore him first, you see. We confess in Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 35 that Jesus took to himself a truly human nature in all things like us, his brothers, except for sin. And that comes right out of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. It says, Jesus had to be made like them, like children, us, with flesh and blood, like human beings, made like them, fully human in every way. So Jesus knows what it is to grieve the loss of a loved one, to be sorrowful, full of sorrow, to be caught up in profound grief, to take the thorn of finality into himself. When I was just a child, I probably told you this, I used to love John 11, verse 35 over all the other verses in the Bible, right? For it was the easiest verse ever to memorize. For it's what? It's the shortest verse in the Bible. I always thought that was pretty neat. Shortest verse, you know what the words are, right? What are they? Well, Jesus wept. Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus. A stone was rolled in front of this cave that held Lazarus's body. And when Jesus saw this sign of the death of his dearly loved friend Lazarus, what happened? Jesus wept. I used to think that was such a great verse because of its length. But how much greater meaning that verse has for me now because of its depth. How much greater meaning that verse has for those who have felt the thorn of loss because of its depth. How much greater meaning that verse has for those who have realized that our bitterest enemy, death, the thorn of finality, has become a part of our lives. We're no longer sheltered from it. Our parents protect us from seeing that sort of thing for a time. But let's be honest, when that shelter is torn down, you can't hide it. You just can't. It starts at different times for everyone. Some experience it at a very young age, younger than is typical, but the thorn goes into their tender flesh and they have to grow up faster than their parents did or their friends do. Others will not experience a loss until much later in their lives, but when it comes, they too will surely find great comfort in knowing that the Savior they love understands and went through what they are going through. This verse, small in length, great in depth, becomes so important to us because it's such a deep comfort. It says, Jesus knows. Jesus knows your grief and sorrow. Jesus knows your loss. Jesus knows all about the thorns of death and finality. The thing about loss and grief and death is that it's always coming towards us, isn't it? It's always coming towards us. A few years back, do you remember what was it? 13 members of our congregation died in about 18 months. That's an average of one person dying every 6 weeks for a year and a half. We are always walking forward towards the next death of a loved one, which will bring pain and sorrow and grief and tears and loss and finality and death into our lives. Jesus wept. Jesus was crying. You understand that? It's hard to imagine it. The Son of God crying, but Jesus truly was shedding tears here. He was that human. It wasn't like the wailing done by those professional wailers that were hired for Jewish funerals. It wasn't the loud lamentations that we sometimes hear in the book of Psalms. It wasn't the weeping and gnashing of teeth that goes with the terror of facing the Lord after rejecting him. No, Jesus was sobbing over this loss of the friend that he loves so much. And Jesus wept for his dear friend Lazarus, even knowing what miracle was about to happen, knowing that he himself would very soon raise Lazarus from the dead, that Lazarus would soon come walking out of his grave alive, his hands and feet still wrapped in strips of linen, his face still wrapped with cloths. Even knowing that, Jesus' heart, in some deeply profound way, was truly broken at the death of his friend. He shed tears. How important is that to know as loss and grief sweep closer and closer to us every day? It's so important, I think, to know that Jesus knows and understands this thorn. There's some other important things to know in this passage. Like what Jesus says about himself to Martha. Listen, though, first to the words of some sympathy cards that I found. I'm sure they're heartfelt words, but when someone gives a grieving person cards like this, somehow they fall short. See if you agree. With sympathy, as you've always shown how strong you are, I know you can overcome this too. Have faith. Time will surely change and better days are always ahead. Condolences. As you are going through this tough time, I hope my prayer relieves some of your pain. My sympathy, may the loving memories of your loved one last in your heart forever. We hope God gives you strength. But now listen to what Martha heard from Jesus. Your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. And she, being a God-fearing woman, answered, well, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus didn't leave it there. He said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come to the world. What do we need to know, friends? Number one, know this. What Jesus says and what Martha believes is a whole lot more powerful than the sentiments on those sympathy cards. It certainly beats, you're strong, I know you can overcome this. It beats, have faith that better days are ahead. From the get-go, then, let's agree that what Jesus says beats all those other platitudes on those sympathy cards. Of course it does. I mean, your brother will rise again, and I am the resurrection and the life. Definitely. Definitely beats them. Number two, know this. Jesus has something huge to say about the thorn of finality, the thorn of loss, of death. What he's saying here is that loss and grief are not going to go on forever. He doesn't disagree at all with Martha. She says, I know Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus doesn't disagree. He agrees with her. Your brother will rise again. One glorious day, all the grief and loss will go away, for there will be a resurrection at the last day. What Jesus adds to this is that he is the reason for that. He is the one who makes that possible. He is the resurrection and the life. He is it. Final death is finally impossible for him and for those who believe in him. Final death is impossible for them. Eternal life and resurrection are somehow mysteriously, miraculously granted to all those who believe in Jesus. For Jesus, who is resurrection and life, and for those who are united with him by faith, death is not the final word. Life is. And when that day comes, loss and tears, thorns of finality will be no more. And number three, know this. This miracle didn't need to be done, but Jesus does it anyway. He proceeds to call Lazarus out of the tomb. And Lazarus comes out alive. It had been 4 days. It had been past the time that some of the Jews thought that a soul would hang around the body after the body died. So when 4 days after Lazarus's death is mentioned, that is not insignificant in the passage. The miracle would be even more spectacular after 4 days. But the miracle really didn't need to be done, for the resurrection is still coming at the last day. Number four, know this. Jesus does the miracle anyway, for other reasons. For God's glory and his own is one of those reasons. Chapter 11, verse 4. So that people may believe is another reason. Chapter 11, verse 15. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe, it says. 11:15. And they did believe. Verse 45, we didn't read it. It says, many Jews that day believed in him. Of course they did. They witnessed a resurrection. I think Jesus did it for another reason too. To show that when he said, I am the resurrection and the life, that he wanted people to really understand what that meant, that it really was he. He really was the Son of God. He really was one with God the Father. That the people really would find resurrection, that great thorn remover resurrection, that they really would find their resurrection in him. Here in front of them stood the resurrection and the life. And if there were any doubt, maybe Jesus was saying to them, let me give you a sneak peek to that last day you keep talking about. Maybe Jesus was saying, for those who put their trust in me, resurrection and eternal life begin now. And that doesn't totally remove the thorn of loss, the thorn of finality, but it sure makes it easier to bear for those who do believe. What a thing to be able to say for us who believe in the resurrection and the life, Jesus, that the one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. I don't know exactly what that means. Or should I say, I don't know exactly how that happens. It's so mysteriously wonderful. But listen, I do know that my granddaughter, Eloise, who died, and Ruby, who died, and the miscarried tiny little ones who die, and Clara, who died, and Sam, who died, and Ron, who died, and Cy, who died, and Gary and Laura, who died, and Ken, who died, and Frank, and Joyce, and Lee, and Glenn, and Gord, and Bert, and Rob, and Chris, who died, and Gert, who died. That they really didn't. Their bodies are in the grave, sure. But they aren't. They're alive. They're with Jesus. They're with Jesus. That's truly a comfort for all of us stuck, punctured by the thorn of loss, of finality. It doesn't take the thorn away, but it sure does something to it. And so we will leave this place today, as the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians says, walking again with the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Your only comfort, even bearing the thorn of loss, you belong, body and soul, in life and in. You belong to the resurrection and the life, the thorn bearer, and one day the thorn remover, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how incredible this story of Lazarus and what it must have been like that day to witness it. And how incredible it is because of that good news punctuated at the cross, because you rose again, the giver of all life. How incredible it is that whatever death we witness, whatever death we go through, whatever death thorn has been placed, pressed into us, no, you tell us, they've not died, they live. They're with Jesus. We're so thankful for that. It makes the thorn, enduring it, just a little bit easier. And how incredible it is, we don't know how you'll do it, but one day that thorn will be completely gone, as reunions happen in a new creation, that thorn done away with in its entirety. Because that's already for sure because of Jesus and his work on the cross and his resurrection. It's already for sure right now. We're so thankful for that. We praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.